The Pentagon says it's caught conspirators who sabotaged its fuel contract bidding. A Connecticut town debates continuing in a lawsuit against the FAA. And bad blood between United and its pilots hammers UAL's stock price. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, January 9th, 2008. The U.S. Department of Justice has announced arrests made Sunday in New York City on indictments of conspiring to steal information on U.S. Department of Defense fuel supply contracts. Christopher Cartwright and Paul Wilkinson were charged, as were two affiliated companies, Far East Russia Aircraft Services, or FARIS, based in the Czech Republic, and Aero Control Limited, based in the Isle of Man. A separate charge was filed against a third individual, Matthew Bittenbender of Baltimore, alleging the same criminal conduct. The indictment alleges that Bittenbender, a former senior contract fuel manager at Avcard, sold confidential Avcard bid data to competitors Cartwright, Wilkinson, Ferris, and Aero Control, allowing them to undercut bids for fuel contracts to the DOD. In return, Bittenbender allegedly received cash payments and a percentage of the profit. Ultimately, the indictment claims, Avcard lost each of the contested bids, and the DOD was deprived of its right to competitive bids. Maximum sentences could surpass 10 years in prison and a fine of $250,000 for the individuals and a fine of $5 million for the corporations. The maximum fines may be increased to twice the gain derived from the crime or twice the loss suffered by victims of the crime if either of those amounts is greater than the statutory maximum. The town of Greenwich, Connecticut, one of about a dozen municipalities which have joined a lawsuit over the FAA's proposed Northeast Airspace Reorganization Plan, is already talking about an exit strategy. Erica Purnell, co-chairman of the Selectmen's Advisory Committee on Aircraft Noise, told the Greenwich Times newspaper, quote, "At this point in time, I personally have a number of reservations about continuing the lawsuit," unquote. The town has spent about $57,000 so far, payments of $27,000 in February and another $23,000 in July, are expected by the coalition and scheduled for votes by Greenwich lawmakers. But since the town made the commitment, the state of Connecticut has filed its own suit, and the ruckus has drawn the attention of officials ranging all the way to the White House. The original idea of the suit was to bury the FAA in protracted litigation. For some politicians in Greenwich, the strategy of trying to spend the FAA under the table appears to be losing its appeal. Also, since the suit was filed in April, the FAA has published drawings showing the nearest holding pattern for Westchester County Airport is being moved to the east, which moves the threat of additional noise away from Greenwich and Stamford, but closer to New Canaan, Wilton, and Weston. Purnell says she appreciates the need to stick together with the neighboring towns and to maintain Greenwich's seat at the table, but tells the paper, quote, "We also have a commitment to the Greenwich taxpayers and to make sure we're being conscientious about the taxpayer money," unquote. United Airlines stock has been pounded the last 2 days after an influential analyst said dissatisfied pilots threaten company profits. The Associated Press reports analyst James Higgins of Soleil Securities Group told investors that pilots are not volunteering for more than the minimum required hours in their contract, a trend responsible in part for pushing United's delays to double the industry average during December. Higgins says pilots are especially upset with United's refusal to renegotiate their contract after approving $250 million for a special cash dividend to investors last month. The airline had blamed bad December performance on weather. The union involved, the Airline Pilots Association, declined to comment to AP. Investors appeared to be listening to Higgins. United's parent company, UAL, fell $1.82 on Monday to close at $29.18. The stock Tuesday was down another $4.79 to close at $24.39. That's down by more than half since its October high. There are more anonymous rumors and analyst comments this week about a possible merger involving Delta. The latest round of gossip was triggered by a report in the Financial Times that Delta's directors and bankers are delaying a sale of their troubled Comair subsidiary until they complete a study of merger options. The airline was noncommittal in its response to the rumor. Quote, "The sale of Comair is not imminent, but our position hasn't changed in that we are always looking to maximize the value of our assets," unquote. A November rumor of a Delta United merger was later found to have been planted by an investment group with stakes in both airlines. At that time, officials of both companies firmly denied the reports. Should Delta merge with one of the other five legacy U.S. airlines, analysts believe at least two of the remaining carriers will also choose partners and say U.S. airline consolidation is overdue. Up next on ANN, Alaskan investigators probe the role of an open baggage hatch in a Chieftain accident. Rescuers may be nearing the end of their search for a plane missing in the Caribbean Sea. And China East Airlines shareholders turned down an offer from Singapore Airlines. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 9th, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. A weekend accident in which a Piper Navajo Chieftain went down in icy Alaskan waters near Kodiak Airport, killing the pilot and five of nine passengers, turns out to be Alaska's first PA-31 fatal to involve a nose baggage door opening in flight, but not the first crash. A survivor told investigators the door popped open just before the plane went down Saturday afternoon. The NTSB is going over the wreckage with help from a Piper engineer. According to the Anchorage Daily News, NTSB records show that in April of 1990, a Navajo had a nose baggage door pop open during takeoff, causing an engine cover to come loose and hit the horizontal stabilizer. There were no injuries. Investigators found a latch spring missing, blamed on an unauthorized modification to allow latching the door without actually locking it. Then in May of 1996, a pilot visually checked the nose baggage hatch before takeoff and thought it looked normal, but then after rotation, the cargo fell out and through the left propeller. There were injuries, but no fatalities when the plane was forced down on sea ice. The nose hatch on the Navajo Chieftain is about 3.5 by 2.5 feet in size. Searchers in helicopters and boats have so far failed to find any trace of a Lett L410 twin-engine turboprop reported down with 14 souls aboard Friday off the coast of Venezuela. The pilot reported engine problems after takeoff from Simon Bolivar International Airport near Caracas. He told air traffic controllers he was attempting an emergency landing on a coral reef in the Caribbean Sea. Searchers fear that the wreckage could have drifted a considerable distance by now. It was not clear whether the search would be continued today. Shareholders of money-losing East China Airlines on Tuesday voted 78% to 22% to reject an offer from Singapore Airlines to buy a stake in the company. The purchase would have been backed by an investment arm of Singapore's government. On Sunday night, Air China promised shareholders of East China Airlines a bid 30% higher than the Singapore offer. If China Air follows through and obtains subsequent approval under China's corporate anti-monopoly laws, a consolidation would create a single, state-owned Chinese airline with major hubs at both Beijing and Shanghai, and a dominant competitive position in both domestic and international flights. China Air's chairman was named a few days ago to head the commission, which would have to approve the deal. China East execs say they'll fight to rebuild a new deal with Singapore Airlines, but Singapore had made it clear it would not raise its offer. China is fighting the world's impression that it spent much of the 20th century in economic and scientific hibernation. The Associated Press reports that will change in a big way during 2008, Not only will China host this year's Summer Olympic Games, but the government has also scheduled the nation's third manned space mission, which is to include its first spacewalk. Huang Qiang, Secretary General of the Commission of Science, Technology, and Industry for National Defense, told China's state-owned Xinhua news agency the country will also launch 15 rockets carrying a total of 17 satellites. While the ramp-up in the space program isn't formally tied to the Olympics, it's thought the manned mission will be launched sometime close to the start of the August Games. Huang told Xinhua nearly 30 new technologies will be present at the Summer Games, including a new Olympic torch and advanced security systems with weather forecasting provided by a new satellite. Still ahead, the FAA signs off on new skyscrapers in Phoenix. India and Dubai both plan huge aircraft maintenance operations. And Swiss officials want to know if their trainer was used as a bomber. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, January 9th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. The cityscape construction project planned for downtown Phoenix has gained approval from the FAA despite high-rise hotels and condos, which could reach 400 to 510 feet in height. FAA spokesman Ian Greger told the Arizona Republic that while the tallest of the buildings will extend into what's considered buffer airspace near Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport, none of the buildings planned will have a negative effect on flights. John Bacon is a spokesman for RED Development based in Scottsdale, Arizona. Quote, "It's what we expected all along. This was within the guidelines that the city established." Unquote. Phase 1 of the mixed retail and residential development could open by sometime in 2009. City leaders have considered it crucial in revitalizing downtown development. The project's total cost is estimated at $900 million, and the city has provided tax incentives to the developer worth $120 million. Engineering projects and telephone call centers have been outsourced to India. Will airliner maintenance be next? India appears to be betting the answer will be yes, and it's a big bet. No fewer than 9 brand new massive maintenance complexes are in the works for companies including Boeing, Eads, and Lufthansa. But India better not get too cocky with prices or taxes. Just a 3-hour flight away, the United Arab Emirates is placing the same bet with a facility of its own. Dubai plans a 56-square-mile aerospace complex dubbed Aviation City, complete with a mega airport and a $1.5 billion maintenance facility that can handle 400 planes at once. The Wall Street Journal warns, however, that if predictions of a global economic collapse come to pass, both facilities may be boasting dozens of brand new, high-tech, empty buildings. Bharat Malkani is chairman of maintenance provider Max Aerospace and Aviation in Mumbai. Quote, "If all the proposed facilities are built, then there will be a global glut, let alone regional," unquote. He says companies will need, quote, "the ability to sustain lean periods when the industry goes through a downturn," unquote. The two countries are already anticipating competition for skilled technicians, maintenance engineers, and even crews to build the facilities. India's strategy appears focused on training the local population, while Dubai, flush with oil revenues, is recruiting personnel from around the world. Maintenance and repair operations in Dubai hope to lure European and even American carriers to send business their way. Government agencies in Switzerland are trying to determine whether a Swiss-made Pilatus PC-9, sold to Chad for civilian training use, was pressed into service as a bomber during a weekend attack against rebel positions in Darfur. The Chadian government would only confirm that the attack involved 2 helicopters and a light aircraft. Chad also has 2 PC-7s, a less powerful predecessor to the single-engine turboprop PC-9. The sale of the 9 to Chad in 2006 was controversial, but Pilatus and the Swiss government had been assured it was to be registered as a civil aircraft and used only for training. And finally, NASA and NASCAR. What do they have in common? Well, they use many of the same letters in their names. Both involve going fast. Some technology developed for space applications is now used in race cars. Oh, and 2008 will be the 50th anniversary for both organizations. To celebrate, NASA plans to carry 3 green starters flags for the Daytona 500 aboard the space shuttle Atlantis, bring them home to Earth, then use them in promotional activities surrounding what NASCAR calls the Great American Race. One of the flags will be used as the official starting flag for this year's 500. The second flag will be awarded to the winning driver. A third will be retained by NASA. Or at least that was the plan. Nagging problems with the shuttle's external fuel tank engine cutoff sensors have delayed the launch of Atlantis now until at least January 24th. And that's cutting it just a little close to the February 17th running of the Daytona 500. Or could it be the two squares in the calendar are just drafting each other? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the A&N special feature. Today my guest is Kate Hanai of the Coalition for an Airline Passenger's Bill of Rights. Kate will talk about how being the victim of an attempted assault and murder played a role in her decision to fight her treatment by American Airlines, and why that fight has escalated to a class action lawsuit within the last few days. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.